Blog Talk Radio.
Good heavens.
Whoa. Whoa. There's some serious storming going on here. Good evening. And welcome to Erie House Radio. Before we begin, a brief rant. I am suffering from time change deniers fatigue. What do I mean? All week, I've been living with a time change denier who wants to argue about what time it really is. Ever since the time change. Okay. Plus people at work complaining that they're tired from the time change. All right, listen. I'm one of them people. For some weird reason, I'm up at 3 a.m. So when 3 a.m. became 4 a.m., I felt like I was sleeping in. It was great. Until the fatigue caught up. With you people beating me down, this morning, I got up at 1 a.m. So I don't know how much more good I'm going to be to anyone, but I am Dale Kay from Spook Show, accompanied by...
Dave Binkley from Weird This Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One, and I must tell you, Dale, it's been a while, but I have not one, not two, but 12 storm facts, Dave facts.
All right. Yay for facts. It's been a while, and we've been waiting
been a while.
With bated breath. For more Dave facts and anything facts today. Storm, because we got three stories about storms.
You know, Dale, we have as to your rant, we have a live sports show that goes on from 11:30 to 12:30 on Sunday morning. And there's a guy, Walter Johnson's son, who was our sports director emeritus. He passed away last year. But we continue the show, and it moves along, and his son, who lives in Arizona, is a constant listener, usually comments to Dan, and the show was ending, and Dan got a text, "Crap, I forgot you guys do time change," so he missed the show, but we have it posted as a podcast there, so and just thinking, yep, in Arizona, they do not do the time change, and... therefore,
is there a county in Indiana, I think, that does not, just a county, I think, that does not play that stuff.
No, there was, but they have all gone to whatever everyone else does.
Yep.
But there was a time because, you know, I could be in Lima and get Fort Wayne, Indiana, and they would be an hour off from what we were, and they weren't in Central Time yet. They were just the Fort Wayne. And what's even funnier, when they did that, there was a town where the time change went right through the middle of town, actually through the high school. So one part of the high school was 1 hour later than the other part of the high school.
Hmm. Well, and here's the other thing, not to re-rant, but I might as well re-rant. Some of the people that were complaining about the time change are retired. What do you care?
Don't get up. Yeah.
You know, what do you care? Can you tell Dave and I are looking forward to retiring from our quote unquote real jobs?
Yes, we are.
I prefer to say regular jobs. This is a real job. We've treated it as such, have we not?
We have. But this is the job we love that we get no pay for, you see.
Yeah. It's always the ones you love that you get no pay for. I'm telling you. But it's worth it. And you got wonderful folks like good old Bob and Fogsbane dropping in, GGSI Paper. My friend Chris from Jamaica, he's from all the United States now, is a regular listener or semi-regular listener. Love you, brother. And many, many others who have, you know who you are. it's worth it for you, and I've learned so much from you, Dave, about old time radio. It's been a real treat for me. This has been a great 7.2 years so far.
Yeah, and it's been great for me to one, I get to share all these programs, and two, I'm always looking for other programs. I found another one that is really cool that we will be sharing down the road here. And so for me, I'm always finding that and finding little tidbits about shows and things like that that just always makes things cool for me. And to be honest with you, before we started doing this, I just didn't think I'd ever be doing anything with old-time radio programs.
Yep, and here we are. With an inexhaustible supply, really, I think. I mean, how long do we expect to live? An inexhaustible supply. If we're only going to do this two nights a week, this could go on a long, long time.
A very long time. And
yeah.
Wonderful entertainment. Every time I said, oh, man, I'm thinking I'm using up all the good shows, then I think about, oh, well, this is a good show, and this is a good show. And, you know, so it's just, it is. It's so much fun, and it's great storytelling. Great storytelling. And for someone who's dyslexic like I am, it is such a nice thing over. I just can't enjoy reading. But
yeah.
I do enjoy the presentation of reading. And that's what we have here with Erie House Old Timey Radio.
Yep. And here we are with more for you. And it's all about storms. Dave, I personally love thunderstorms. Okay. My first dog's, his name was Stormy. He used to be petrified of thunderstorms. It was hilarious. So far, Paladin, he doesn't seem to bother him too much. He doesn't want to be out in one. But if I go sit on the front porch to watch the free light show, he goes out with me. He's okay, you know.
Okay.
He's good.
Yeah, I have two cats, especially one that runs and hides. But then if you out the word peanut butter cup, he'll run and hide too. So that one doesn't really count. But I have one that will sit out there and look at the window saying, hey, man, what the heck's going on? As long as it doesn't get too loud. The lightning doesn't bother him. The thunder does little bit. But
Buttercup. Meow, meow. Peanut buttercup. Meow.
No, he's just gone and hiding somewhere under the bed. We'll see
even,
in a couple
even
hours.
Even in some of the wild boomers, it takes a pretty loud boom to wake me up. I sleep like a baby. I don't know if it's the white noise of the rain or what it is, but I sleep like a baby during thunderstorms. Last night included, because we had some wild stuff in Ohio.
Appropriate we had this, because we had several tornadoes touch down in Ohio last night. So a very appropriate topic.
Yep. Dave, how did you know this was going to happen? You're more prophetic than the weatherman, I'll tell you.
I am more pathetic than the weatherman. Yes, I am.
No, prophetic.
Prophetic.
Not prophylactic, prophetic. Yeah, that's right. We got Johnny Dollar, The Whistler, and Theater 5 tonight.
Yeah, they're all different kind of storms. I think the Theater 5 is more about a hurricane. It's more about just a thunderstorm, I think, with the Whistler. And it's a windstorm, a sandstorm in Johnny Dollar. So we have three different types of storms coming up at us tonight.
Ooh. Maybe we should go backwards in time and start with what? I guess Theater 5.
If we're starting with the most current, yep, Theater 5 would be the first one.
Yeah, let's go back into time, because everybody wants the time to go back again. Make up your minds.
A re-rant, a re-rant, rant. Oh, I'm
there. Yeah, re-re-re-rant. Eye of the Storm, this one is entitled, from Theater 5.
Episode number 137, and comes to us from February 9th of 1960 and 5.
Theater 5 presents The Eye of the Storm.
Radio Minute, John.
All right, Clara.
report Hurricane Cleo, now boiling up the coast in the vicinity of Carteret, North Carolina, shows no signs of abating. Residents of that coastal region are advised by local authorities to evacuate to higher ground. The storm is...
What'd they say, John?
Same as for Edna last year. They want me to set up a temporary hospital in the school auditorium.
Well, the roads are washed out in Hastings.
Yeah. Well, phone's out, too. Went just after the message. But I'll get the station wagon.
Your bag is in it.
The bandages, too?
Yes.
It's beginning to flood. Mm. We'll have to make a run for it. Doctor! Dr. Williams!
Oh, look, John, it's the Wallaces in the foot of the road.
Yeah, the canyons, too, all of them.
Dr. Williams, we're washed out down there. How's it going?
Come on, everybody. Into the station wagon. Come on, now. Hurry it up. Oh, half, Doc. Well, it's the highest place I know. Pile in now. Hurry. Move over there.
Oh, there's 10 of us. It's a lot to take.
All right, we get it.
Oh, hello, Mr. Klemper.
Hello, Mrs. Williams. You surprised to see me again?
Well, I thought you were in the hospital.
They let me go. How are you, Doc?
Hello, Klemper. Close that door. The water's rising.
Oh, Dick, it's a bad one. My husband couldn't get in from Newport. I did the best I could, but I don't think the house will stand. Oh, stop crying, Jimmy.
Nothing's going to stand in this one. It's worse than Edna. This could take everything away.
Trust in the Lord thy God with all thy might.
What?
They that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles.
Oh, look. The water's up to the hubcap.
Yeah. We're moving on to higher ground now.
Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee.
Why do you worry, friend? I've come back to help you. You know who I am. Martin Klemper. Well, at least Dr. Williams knows. You know me, don't you, Doctor?
I know you, Klemper.
Then tell him not to worry. I am here.
Where to go? Into the auditorium. Come on now. Hurry up.
Oh, thank heaven we made it.
I'll find a cop for you.
All right, Mrs. Hallam. Now there's no reason to cry. Let me see. Little girl's got a minor cut, that's all. Here. I'll clean it and bandage it.
Now.
It doesn't hurt, does it?
Doc?
Yes?
Don't I remember him?
Hmm? Who?
That Klemper character.
Oh, I don't think so, no. He's from down near Wilmington. There. She'll be all right, Mrs. Hannum.
John?
Yes, Clara?
Can you come here, please?
Yes. Excuse me.
What do we do, John?
About what?
You know he wasn't released.
Yes. But we mustn't do anything to panic these people. It's going to be bad enough anyhow.
Doc? The Lippman family, all of them, are stranded down near the ferry.
Yeah?
Your car still running?
Yep. Well, I'll get them.
Not without me, Doc. You know that. You'll need my help.
I might at that, Klimper. Come on.
John! Take care.
It's all right, Clara. It's all right.
Fine woman, Mrs. Williams. Fine wife. You know what I've come for, don't you, Doc?
No, I don't.
Justice, righteousness, the victory.
Well, let's get on our way. These people need us.
The needs of all will be met. For as a man soweth, so shall he also reap.
What are you doing, Klemper?
It's not what I do. It's what must be done. From now on, you and I and the gun, we're all together.
And we've got to get to those people.
Oh, yes, we've got to get to the people. As long as the storm lasts, you're all right, Doc. Start driving.
What happens after the storm?
There's no more need for you.
How did you get free, Clever?
knocked out. But why? Ask and it shall be given you. I spent a year there, Doc. More than a year before the revelations came. Then I saw my way. My mission was revealed. After the storm, Doc. After the storm.
But why, Klimper?
Why? Not so much that you sent me there. Although I didn't especially care for it. I mean, a man could live a lifetime without going to a madhouse, couldn't he?
He might. But you heard the evidence of the review board.
Oh, yes. They said I was insane.
You disagree?
Which isn't important one way or the other. The evil thing is that when you sent me there, you took something away from the world. A year of my goodness, a year of wonders and miraculous works.
A man can be mistaken. No one knew you had those powers.
The powers of life and death. Oh, yes. And now I will reveal them to the world when the storm ends.
Now, listen, Klimper. The review board, it may have made an honest mistake. Now, if you make me a promise, I'll request a new hearing for you.
What kind of promise?
You said you'd do nothing until the storm was over.
Of course. The people need you. I love people.
All right, then promise me you'll do one more thing.
You can't be sure. What is it?
Promise me you'll do nothing with that pistol until they're all returned safely to their homes.
There they are, see? In that shed.
Yep. All right.
Dr. Williams! Hello! Hello!
Now, there's no reason to cry, none at all. Be strong and of good courage. Peace is here.
Hurry, all of you. Get back to the car.
Let the little children come with me.
They're so scared, all of them. My wife, too. Our house right up from the foundations and washed away everything in it. All right. Hurry now. Get in. Klimper, come on.
What's that?
Where?
Oh, there.
Well, what is it?
Get into the car.
A snake.
A snake! A snake! Ah!
Skip around it. They're driven out by the storm.
No, no! I won't go near it. It's the breath of hell. It's the serpent of evil.
Come around it, Klimper. Hurry!
Look at its head. Look at it staring at me. Look.
Ah!
It's the eye of damnation.
Come on! Get into the car!
The devil has stared at me. The devil has looked me in the eye.
In a hurricane, they're everywhere. We passed dozens of them. Copperheads, rattlers, everything.
I saw his face in the eye of a snake. I saw the face of evil.
Wow. My ex-wife is in this episode. The face of evil.
didn't think that was going to be possible, huh? Yeah. Look out for them. It had to be snakes. It had to be snakes.
Yep. Who said that? Ah, Indiana Jones. Snakes.
Indiana Jones.
Why does it have to
yep.
be snakes? Well, maybe it's time
I've never been through a hurricane. Unlike Gar, I've never been through a hurricane.
I have neither. I have seen some, they're not like tornadoes, but what do you call them where you get that? It's almost like a miniature tornado, these little eddies in the air.
Where the E5 or what?
Nah, it's like going in a circular motion, but it doesn't really quite form into a tornado.
Okay.
Like you'll see a bunch of leaves going around like, is this the start of something? Wait, what? And then it just peters out.
Oh, yeah, we can take that one home for dinner, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Nope. Anyhow, do you think it's time for our first set?
Oh, we could do that. Let me see. If you're ready.
Here comes the first set of Storm Facts, Dave Facts.
Storm Fact. Some tornadoes are faster than Formula One racing cars. Dave Fact. But has the Tornado ever won the Indianapolis 500?
No.
Storm track. A heat wave in California once turned grapes into raisins. Dave fact. Wake me up when it turns them into wine.
Ah, yes.
Storm fact. Blood red rain poured down on India for a summer. Dave fact. Don't look at me. I was somewhere else at the time. And storm fact. Cape Farewell is the windiest place on the planet. Dave fact. Apparently, they've never been to D.C. when Congress is in session. Dave fact.
Oh, did I cut one off? I'm sorry.
No. I'm just saying that was the first set of storm fact, Dave fact.
Ah,
as I was waving my arm. Yeah.
That flush was for Congress, but whatever.
Yeah, they seldom have a full house, so.
Do you use one? Because I'm usually full of it. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe I said that on radio. That's all of them. Every one of them. But anywho.
Anywho.
We've got a wonderful story going. And
yes, we do.
Me losing a lung. Here I do you hear me?
Better get a cigarette and get that fixed.
Yeah, it's getting in the way of my smoking. It's getting annoying. any luck, I'll work up a piece of lung by the end of the show. Let's wrap up Eye of the Storm from Theater 5.
She's all right, Mrs. Hannum. She's going to be fine.
John, come over here. I've seen it. I know he has a gun in his pocket.
I don't think he'll use it.
He's come for you, hasn't he?
Now, Clara, we've got to control ourselves.
What do you do?
Nothing, at least for the time being.
But, John, you just can't let him.
We've got to think of these others.
He seems so frightened. What happened to him out there?
Enough. I gotta find out what it's done to him, how dangerous he might be, and why.
Please do it carefully.
I will, and thanks.
For what?
For what you are.
Take care.
How about some coffee?
No.
You're still trembling. Something hot might help.
You have prepared a table for me in the sight of mine enemies.
I could give you something for your nerves.
Oh, yes. I know what you could give me, but don't try it, Doctor. I know my mission. The snake was sent to make me resolute, to see my duty clearly and not to falter.
Well, then I think you'll continue to see it clearly.
What?
The higher the water rises, the more of them will be driven from their holes.
More?
Oh, there's little danger, really, but there might even be hundreds of them all trying to find the higher land.
Higher land?
The people trying to find a dry place to stay alive.
I've heard enough. Don't.
Did you know a snake can tell by instinct how high the water will rise? Of course, the water moccasins don't care, but the rattlers and the copperheads do.
Why?
They're not aquatic. They slither before the flood to the highest places.
Demons. That's what they are.
They float in over the windowsills if the water rises high enough.
I've heard enough.
They crawl to the rafters, high and dry. Instinct.
Stop it. I will hear no more blasphemy. No more praise of evil. You stop it, yeah?
Well, certainly, Klimper.
I am the night and the wave. I am the strength of man. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
You mentioned your revelations, Klimper.
I am chosen among men.
I understand that. Will you tell me how you were chosen?
In fire. In fire and light, I will show my way as few men are shown, with a shield shooting lightning as I marched. No one could fend off the lightning as it struck my oppressors down. Behind the shield, I was justice and truth and faith. You're a smart man.
I admire your dedication, but I have been told, Doc. I have been told.
Told what? After the storm.
It's still rising, Clara. We got to do something about the beds. Get the injured ones onto the stage where it's higher.
Oh, wait. Where are you going?
To have a look at the attic. If it goes on flooding, we'll have to find a way to pull the beds up from the stage.
Stay away from them, John.
If I can.
No, I mean completely. Get out. Leave now.
With the flood rising, I'm the only doctor here.
I don't care. Go.
Even if I wanted to, there's no way, Clara. The cars are all awash out there. Besides, I'm not the only one he wants.
You're the one he means to kill.
Unless he decides otherwise. You see, I know. The rest of them don't.
You're mine.
Thank you.
Don't thank me. Save yourself.
You know what I've got to do?
Help me. I wish I could.
Ask them to get the beds on stage.
Where are you going, Doc?
The water's rising. I've got to see if the attic is safe.
Alone? Without me? Not without me.
Now, how far do you think I could go? Look at the flood out there. Do you think I'll jump?
What good would it do, right? Everything drives you to me. All the forces of nature, like the hound of heaven.
That's a view you're entitled to.
It's an omen. Heaven and earth won't let you go. You can't escape your destiny.
You coming up with me?
No need. There's no way out for you. I'll wait here a while.
Martha, listen. There's a difference.
Oh, the wind is dying in the water. I think it's going down.
The level is dropping.
Look, the wind is stopped. Listen.
Let me see. Let me see. Let me look out the window.
The rain is stopping, too.
It's stopping. The storm's ending. Fall on your knees. Fall on your knees and rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The way is clear. The sign is shown. The word is spoken. Hallelujah.
What's the matter with him?
I don't know.
I raised my voice in thanksgiving for the light you have shown to me. I hear the voice that guides me.
Oh, look. The sky is clearing over there.
The flooding in the yard is dark.
Where are you going, Mr. Clemper?
I have a mission, Mrs. Williams. Believe me, I can't say how sorry I am. I have a mission.
But there's no need for this. No reason, no logic.
He knows the need. He knows the reason. He has called me to my work.
No! No, I can't let you go up there. Please!
Let him come, Clara. Go away from the stairs.
Oh, John, I can't. I can't.
Come up, Clemper.
It's dark. Where's the light?
There is none. It's out.
I can see you with the eyes of reckoning that pierce the darkness. Besides, there's light down here. Move over to the stairs.
I don't intend to move.
Move where I can see you.
Oh, no.
It's over, Doc. The storm is over.
This isn't the end out there. This here's the eye, the center of the storm. It's going to turn around and come on again. Maybe worse than it was.
You lie. The guilty lie. They lie.
The storm is only moving. The wind and the water will rise again.
You lie, and you beg, and you try to deceive the keeper of righteousness. The storm is over.
The snakes know it isn't.
What?
They are not leaving.
Well, what are you talking about?
The high places. This is the highest. This is where they've come, high and dry.
They're coiled in every corner of this attic.
No, no.
Hundreds of them.
You're lying.
I can see one now behind your head, hanging from the raft.
No. Get it away.
Be careful. You've got to kill him. You've got to be sure they're dead. Move. He's going to drop on you. There's another one at your feet. It's coiled astride. Look at its tongue. Shoot.
Get it away.
Look, they're moving out of that corner. Copperheads, rattlesnakes, gliding out toward you. Shout!
Save me!
Clipper, you missed! Fire again!
Let me out!
Are you all right?
It's all right, Clara. He dropped a gun. It's empty anyway.
Oh, but the snake. You've got to get them out of here.
Hold up the lantern. Do you see any?
No, not one.
There's the wind again.
Well, at least we know the storm's half over.
Yeah, you better tell them to pile those tables on the stage. It might be higher this time.
Oh, wait, John. Where are you going?
To bring him back. To whatever safety we have. The water will rise again.
Oh, but John, you know he's insane.
We can't leave him out there.
But what if he becomes violent? What if he starts imagining and seeing things?
Don't we all do that? Every man has his own snakes. We gotta find a place, even for him.
The Eye of the Storm, written by Richard McCracken, produced and directed by Ted Bell. In the cast, Court Benson, Alice Yorman, Stotz Cotsworth, Audrey Marsh, Ben Yaffe, and Cecil Roy. Audio engineers Neil Pultz and Marty Folia. Sound technician Ed Blaney. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Lee Bowman.
Thanks, Lee.
We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. That's Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking. An ABC Radio Network production.
It's also an Area House presentation. Here's hoping Dave's back. I hear no Dave. We're Daveless. That was a wonderful show. I'm going to have to crash and try to make up some kind of a moral. House frantically tries to present a garrulous moral of the story. God, what am I going to do? He, with apologies to Gar, with apologies to Gar, Dave.
With apologies to Gar. Whether it's worse to face a hurricane or snakes, I prefer snake wine. Thank you very much.
Eeny, meeny, chili beanie, the spirits are about to speak.
Oh, people, if you only knew the frantic activities back here to time things just right, and the fates were with us, more or less. Kind of, sort of.
I didn't know I wasn't heard. I could hear you fine. I could hear everything going on. I could hear the story. They go, where's Davis? And I'm right here.
No, you weren't. But then you came back just in time. That's amazing. That tells you the skill that Dave has. I'm telling you, this guy hits the can hit the ground running. No storm he cannot weather.
Well, as long as I don't get too wet, you know, okay.
I guess a sandstorm would be the worst for me.
Yeah, well, you know what? If we're going back in time, that would be the next story.
That sounds like a Johnny Dollar deal.
That is a Johnny Dollar deal. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Well, actually, yours truly, not my truly, his truly, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yours, his, mine, yours, and ours.
Yeah.
Johnny Dollar.
And with six, you get an egg roll. Yes, yes.
Yes, Johnny Dollar, worth every penny of it. The Sidewinder matter.
Yeah. Interesting title. Indeed.
Yep. And why do we only have 50, Dave, why do we only have 53 minutes left? That can't be good.
No. Yep. I don't know. It was set for an hour and a half. And
yeah,
that was only like a 25-minute show.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a two-hour show, so we're going to jump right into the Sidewinder.
Oh,
I think that's my fault.
You had it marked as an hour and a half. That's what the problem was, yeah.
I could have sworn I hit it at 120, but that's okay. A Sidewinder matter, Johnny Dollar, originally broadcast.
It was originally broadcast on February 7th of 1960.
Johnny Dollar.
Johnny, this is Jake Kessler. You know, Greater Southwest Insurance Company.
Out there in Kingman, Arizona?
That's right.
Well, hiya, Jake. What's on your mind?
One of my clients, Johnny, insured for $30,000, has a little cattle ranch. Name is Rafe Chisholm.
Rafe Chisholm.
That's right. Owns a Circle RC layout. Lays over between here and that Lake Mojave resort you're always going
to. What's the trouble? He losing some of his cattle?
Oh, losing plenty of them. They're being poisoned.
Oh?
Only it's not them steers I'm worried about. It's Rafe.
What do you mean?
Well, Johnny, I just found out that he just found out who's been contaminating them water troughs.
Yeah, who, Jake?
Well, he won't say, but listen.
Yeah?
If he really does, well, I know Rafe Chisholm pretty good, Johnny. He's a bad character. I wished I'd never sold him insurance.
Yeah, yeah?
Well, if he does know, well, Johnny, this whole thing is going to end up in a killing. Either whoever's doing this or Rafe himself.
The Circle RC.
That's right. So will you come out here and see what you can do about it right away?
Sure. Okay, Jake, I'll be there.
CBS Radio brings you Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Thirsty people everywhere prefer ice-cold Pepsi-Cola, and because it's light, it refreshes without filling.
Charlie, be sociable.
I am, Kay. Pepsi is a favorite of thirsty people from Maine to Hawaii, from Alaska to Florida.
Charlie.
It's perfect for parties or picnics, so serve Pepsi to your guests.
That's helpful, but...
This is the sociable part. Keep plenty of Pepsi ice cold and ready. Remember, it goes fast because everybody likes Pepsi.
Singing still sounds more inviting. May I?
Be sociable.
But singing doesn't say, pick up an extra carton of Pepsi today. Better yet, get a case.
You do that.
And now, Act One of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Greater Southwest Insurance Company, Kingman, Arizona office. The following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Sidewinder matter. Jake Kessler hadn't given me very much to go on, but of my old friend Buster Favor, if Buster knew about the Circle RC and its troubles, well, expense account item one is $350 for a phone call to Davis Dam 72, the Lake Mojave Resort.
I sure do know about that water poisoning over at the Circle RC, Johnny. After all, it's only 50 or 60 miles from here.
Good. Then, Buster...
I only hope you can get on out here before somebody gets killed over it.
Yeah, that's about the way Jake Kessler put it to me. So how'd you like to meet me at the airport over in Vegas?
Be glad to.
All right. Now, Buster, the best connection I can make will get me in there at 6 o'clock in the morning, okay?
I'll be waiting for you, Johnny.
Good. Item 2, 16390, plane fare to Las Vegas, Nevada. True to his word, Buster Favor was there waiting for me. In his car, we headed east on Route 95 to Boulder City and turned south toward Kingman. And I wondered just how much food there was for a herd of beef cattle out here in this seemingly bare desert country.
For sure it's a problem, Johnny, but a much bigger one is keeping them supplied with enough water. See those windmills here and there?
Yeah, I've noticed them.
Well, every one of them has a big water tank and a watering trough at the base of it. Without them, those Herefords all die off. We turn here.
All right. Jake Kessler said this Rafe Chisholm is a pretty bad character.
You ask me, Johnny, Rafe just soon kill a man as he wouldn't talk to him. The Sidewinder, they call him. And good reason, too. He's just as mean as a Sidewinder.
Ah?
That's why nobody was very happy to see him politic himself into a lease on that good ranch land with all the water it's got on it. Doubt if a single one of his pumps ever goes dry, which is more than you can say for most of the wells out here, believe me.
But now somebody's poisoning the water for him.
That's right.
Any idea who?
No doubt about it.
Who, Buster?
His ex-partner in a gold mine. Another bad character. Name is Jerry McCoy. It was by cheating Mac out of his chair of the mine that Chisholm got the money to lease the ranch.
I see.
And Mac swore if he ever caught up with Chisholm, he'd get even with him. Ask me, Johnny, Mac has caught up with him.
Western cattle ranches go, it apparently wasn't a very large one. But Buster pointed out where the fence line extended nearly 2 miles back into the mountains at the east end of it. As we neared the ranch house, I could see what he'd meant about the water. There were more trees and green than I'd seen anywhere else in this desert country. The ranch house itself was a sprawling, unpainted affair, but there was a flower garden at the side that appeared to be doing quite well. A dozen or so chickens pecking away at the dirt. As we stopped, a woman came running out of the door, came over to meet us.
You, Mr. Favor.
Howdy, Miss Chisholm. I'd like you to meet Mr. Johnny Dollar.
Well, howdy, Mr. Dollar.
Hi.
Listen.
Johnny's
now,
a special investigator for your husband's insurance company.
Oh, then you got to do something, Mr. Dollar. Do something about my husband, about Ray.
Well, he's the one I came to see. Is he here?
No. No, that's the reason you got to do something about him. You've got to stop him.
From what?
Oh, it was about an hour ago that my son come in from out on the range. My son, Wayne.
Yeah?
Wayne had been over along the east fence fixing to repair a broken post, but instead he come on back here and told his pa, told Ray.
Told him what, Mrs. Chisholm?
Jerry McCoy.
McCoy.
Wayne had saw McCoy out there fooling around the trough at the windmill, fixing to poison it, he must have been.
And it is McCoy.
Well, what did your husband do about it?
Oh, he... He grabbed his pistol, that old .45, and that knapsack of his, and he rode out there after him. Rafe will kill him, Mr. Dollar. Oh, he'll get killed himself, Mr. Dollar.
Yeah, knapsack, did you say?
Oh, yes, sir, that knapsack.
Well, why do you say it that way? What's in it?
I don't rightly know, Mr. Dollar. Last few days, ever since he heard that McCoy was in these parts, he wouldn't let anybody touch it. He's kept it hid away.
Funny.
Miss Chisholm, you think Wayne could show us where it was he saw Jerry McCoy?
I don't know where he is. Wayne has gone out somewheres, too, and I'm so worried about him.
Why do you say that, Mrs. Chisholm?
With Rafe and the kind of temper he's in, anybody got in his way or tried to stop him? Rafe's a dangerous man, Mr. Dollar, and he's got that gun with him.
What, his own son?
You don't know that Rafe, mister.
And we better find him quick.
We'll have to track him, Johnny. Miss Chisholm, are there a couple of extra horses we can use?
Oh, yes. Help yourself.
A lot better than a car out there in that mesquite and sage. Come on. And Maybe we'll find Wayne for you, too.
Oh, I hope so, Mr. Tabor. I hope he's all right.
Yes, sir. I hope so, too. But with that crazy man out there with a gun.
Yeah, come on, Buster. It looks like we've got our work cut out for us. Again, for the 11th straight year, Camel outsold every other cigarette, filter, king size, and regular. The best tobacco makes the best smoke. So if you're smoking more now but enjoying it less, change to Camels. Get more real satisfaction every time. Start to really enjoy smoking again.
Have a real cigarette. Or you might want to cut down.
And now, Act Two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar and the Sidewinder Matter.
Yeah, Johnny, I was afraid of this.
Afraid of what?
Those tracks down there, those hoof prints.
I still don't see how you spot them, Buster, among all the cattle tracks and the other hoof prints.
They're real fresh, Johnny. And Rafe's mount turns out his left forefoot a little. See it there?
Oh.
The other tracks that follow his, that must be the boy's horse. If Wayne catches up with him or old Rafe sees he's being followed, you got a gun with you, haven't you?
Yeah, right here.
Good. But I sure hope you don't have... Ooh, ooh,
ooh. Yeah, I heard that. Gunshot, huh?
Pistol shot. Must have been that .45 Rafe's carrying.
And it probably means that he's found McCoy.
Or he's discovered that Wayne's trailing him.
If only we had some way of knowing where that shot came from.
If only I hadn't been so busy talking my fool head off. So, well, I guess the only thing we can do is to keep following those tracks. Hey, wait.
Oh, boy.
Johnny, that shot came from over there at Black Canyon, way over there to the right. Rafe has a windmill and a water trough and an old feed shack, too.
Then let's go.
Yep. Oh, boy. Come on.
What's the matter?
Look over there, the top of that mesa.
Those big dust clouds building up.
I knew this air was too still out here. Johnny, that dust over the mesa coming this way means that inside of 5, maybe 10 minutes, we're going to be in the middle of the worst sandstorm you ever heard of.
Now we better get on back to the ranch.
We'd never make it. We got to find cover. Come on, boy.
Oh, boy. But where, Buster?
Over there on the right. Shadow Mountain. Big cave in the side of it.
Then let's go, brother. Come on, boy. Up, up.
Just pray we can make it, Johnny. And believe me, I mean pray. Get up.
And since one of us is an idiot, I won't say who, but I'm voting for me.
I'm sorry.
No, it's not Dave. Some goofs. Set this up for 90 minutes today, so you're only getting two programs. Sorry, kids. We lied. But we'll make it up to you tomorrow night. How's that?
Two programs tomorrow instead of just the one.
Yeah, there you go. So we're kicking the Whistler out until tomorrow. We're going to wrap up Johnny Dollar shortly, but we got some facts to catch up
we
on.
We do have some facts.
We got a flurry of them. We've only done 3 of 12, right?
4 of 12, yes.
Or 4 of 12. Oh, right. Well, then we timed this very well. We've done this very well.
We
quite
did.
By accident. For every tragedy, there's a miracle.
And this the first one's even very appropriate for our subject of the story.
Ah, well, so, then let's present 4 more Storm Facts, Dave Facts.
Storm fact, sandstorms can swallow up entire cities. Dave fact, wow, I thought I could eat a lot at the buffet table. Storm fact, pine cones can be used to forecast rain. Dave Fact. But the heck of a lot easier to open my weather app. Storm Fact. A 1995 storm in Texas had hailstones the size of softballs. Dave Fact. I believe I asked for easy ice that time. Storm Fact. Hurricane John, also known as Typhoon John, was both the longest and furthest traveling cyclone ever and lasted 31 days. Dave Fact. So next time I'm booking a passage with Noah, his plan was only 30 days and 30 nights with some nice warm straw.
There you go. Pretty funny.
Wait, there's more. After the show, up in Dundee.
Oh, yeah. We'll even have a bonus feature here. We just don't have time to get all of the Whistler in. So, again, tomorrow, CBS Radio Mystery Theater and the Whistler. More about that later. Let's move on then.
Okay. We can
wrap up our wonderful show. We have a different idea of part two than they do. with the Sidewinder Matter.
It was less than a mile to the cave in the side of Shadow Mountain. But by the time we'd covered half the distance, the sandstorm came roaring in on us. The hot, dry wind pounded and pummeled us at 50 or 60 miles an hour, hurling clouds of blinding, cutting sand ahead of it. How the horses were able to take this, I'll never know. Bent low on the saddle, our hats pulled down with handkerchiefs over our faces, we not only couldn't see, we could hardly breathe. As the storm got worse, we were forced to dismount to cover the heads of the horses with our coats to lead them on foot. But we kept on, and I prayed that Buster still knew where he was going. Buster, whom I could track only by hanging onto the tail of the horse that he was leading. Then, finally, a lee of Shadow Mountain, the life-saving protection afforded by the deep cave in the side of it. And there, to keep us company, were other fugitives from the sandstorm. Half a dozen jackrabbits, a couple of coyotes, a fox, and several kinds of rats and mice, huddled together silently, forgetting for the moment all the ancient instinctive enmities in their escape from the peril outside of the cave. And the wind roared with the sound of thunder, as though shrieking its anger, its frustration at having failed to smother us out there, as though now trying to deafen us with its sheer power. As we crouched there, the horses stayed close to us, making strange sounds, little sounds that I'd never heard before. It was almost like the whimpering of a frightened child. Then, after what seemed like ages, but could only have been a couple of hours, the wind subsided. As suddenly as it had come up, I started to rise, but Buster touched my arm and motioned me to wait. And then came the hail. A hailstorm of the kind you may hear about but never quite believe. Right here in the middle of the Mojave Desert. Hailstorms. Some of them almost as big as dolphins, dashed against the rocks outside. And some of those hailstones rolled into the cave and melted at our feet. Finally, it stopped. The little animals who'd been our companions quietly looked at one another, then one at a time departed. Maybe a little chastened by this having shared the comfort of each other's presence for a while.
Well, Johnny, kind of gives you a respect for this desert, doesn't it?
Yeah. Too bad those animals don't always get along so well, so peacefully, isn't it?
I guess you could say that about some of the people in this world, too, couldn't you? Well, we lost our trail, but we know where those shots came. Johnny.
Now what?
Half under that rock, the one that blocks the entrances.
Somebody lying there, Buster. Must have come in during the storm.
Wayne. Johnny, it's young Wayne Chisholm.
Wayne.
Are you all right, boy?
Hello, Mr. Favor.
You're hurt, Wayne. You've been shot. Who did this?
My pa.
Your pa? Rafe Chisholm?
I'll be all right.
What happened?
It was terrible.
Tell us, boy. Tell us.
Terrible. Terrible.
Act three of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment. Meet star Stuart Irwin.
Nothing's worse for an actor than a nasty cold. To feel better quickly, I take wonderful four-way cold tablets, the fast way to relieve cold distress.
Right. Tests of all the leading cold tablets proved four-way fastest acting. Four-way starts in minutes to relieve muscular pains, headache, reduce fever, calm upset stomach, also overcomes irregularity.
Take my advice. For your next cold, take Four-Way cold tablets, the fast way to relieve those cold miseries.
Four-Way, only 29 cents. And now here's a word about another fine product of Grove Laboratories. To get rid of embarrassing dandruff in 3 minutes, change to Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo. 3 minutes with Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep unsightly dandruff away forever. Apply Fitch before wetting hair. Rub in 1 minute. Add water, lather 1 minute. Then rinse 1 minute. Every trace of dandruff goes down the drain. 3 minutes with Fitch and embarrassing dandruff's gone. At the same time, Fitch can brighten hair up to 35%. Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today. And now, Act 3 of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Wayne, boy, listen to me. You mean your own father shot you?
Yes, sir. But it's all right. He only nicked me.
What happened, Wayne?
Well, I don't think he meant to hit me, Mr. Faber.
Well?
But when he saw that I'd followed him after he got there looking for Jerry McCoy...
Did he find McCoy?
Well, he told me to go back, and he cursed me, and he fired a couple of wild shots at me.
The three we heard.
But I don't think he meant to hit me.
I wonder.
Then I hid behind some deer brush, and then worked my way down again so as I could see what he was doing.
Well, what about McCoy?
Oh, Pa found him, all right. There in the feed shack, there in Black Canyon, where he was skinning out one of our young steers, in there out of the sun.
Okay, then, Johnny, we better get on over.
No, wait, Buster. Then what happened, Wayne?
It was terrible, mister. It was awful. I was close enough, I could see him. I could hear him through the open window of the feed shack.
You think I didn't know all the time it was you, McCoy, that was poisoning the water for my kettle?
Yeah. Well, I told you I'd get even for what you'd done to me over in that gold mine, Rafe, and now I've got you just... No, put down that gun. Don't kill me, Rafe.
Kill you? And get myself in real trouble?
Then put it down. Put it away. See, I got no gun on me.
I ought to kill you, Mac. I've been thinking about this a long time, about what I'd do when I caught you. But what's the use? What's the use of killing you?
Now listen, Rafe, I'll make it up to you for the cattle I've poisoned.
Make it up?
Yeah.
Insurance takes care of that. So, Mac, I'm going to let you go.
Yeah. Mean you ain't going to turn me over to the police?
Only if you do exactly what I tell you to do.
Yeah, Rafe, I'll do anything.
Sure you will, because I got this gun on you. Now start cutting a lot of strips, a lot of thongs off of that steer hide.
You're going to tie me up? You're going to leave me out here to die?
Do like I tell you. Go ahead. Or maybe I will pull this trigger.
But you said you'd let me go, Rafe.
Hurry up. You're going to need a lot of them.
Me? Why, I don't understand you.
You think I'd want anybody to know I let you go? The man that was poisoning my cattle? Keep cutting them strips.
I am, Rafe, I am.
It's got to look like you got the best of me. Tied me up and left.
What?
You're going to tie me up to this post in here.
Tie you up?
Go ahead, do like I tell you. Go ahead, Mac. Unless you want a bullet in your head. Go ahead. All right. Pull them strips around my ankle tighter.
Yeah. Yeah, Rip. Short.
Put another one around my neck, around the post.
But this is some trick on me, Rafe.
It ain't no trick.
But now listen, a couple of days out here with no water, you'll die.
Come on, tighter. I still got this gun on you.
But I'm no killer, Rafe.
You won't be. Because a couple of hours and that boy of mine will be back here with help.
I don't trust.
They see me tied up this way, they'll never know I got soft and let you get away.
I still don't trust you. Yeah.
You got no choice.
Now, here you are. You'll never get loose. Unless they come out and cut you loose.
You think I'd take this chance if I didn't know they would? Now you get out of here. The wind's coming up, and there's going to be a sandstorm.
All right, I will.
And, here.
Your gun?
That's right. Take it. Because I know you ain't got the guts to use it on me. And it's better if they think you took it off me.
I don't get it, Rafe. But I better get out of here before they come for you.
That's right. You can take my horse, too.
Your horse, too, huh? Well, sure, sure I will.
Don't touch that knapsack out there on the ground.
Knapsack? Well, Rafe, that's one you carried when we was prospecting. You mean...
No. Any nuggets in that are mine, Mac.
Nuggets? Gold? Yeah, some of the gold you cheated me out of, huh? I'll see for myself.
No. Mac, you open that knapsack and you'll be sorry.
Eh? Will I? Well, you can't stop me. Tied up that way, you can't stop me.
Now,
because now...
Open it up.
What's in here rightly belongs to me.
There in that knapsack was three sidewinders.
Sidewinders? Rattlesnakes?
Good Lord.
McCoy, he didn't have a chance.
Good Lord.
There was enough poison in him?
Yeah. And not knowing that you'd seen all this, but knowing you'll come back with help, that we'll find him tied up there.
Yeah, Johnny. Reeves made it look like he has a perfect alibi. Not that McCoy didn't deserve to die, poisoning cattle.
It's still murder, Buster. Wayne, do you think you can make it to the ranch?
Yes, sir.
Then come on, Buster. We'll go on to Black Canyon. We'll pick up our killer.
Okay, Johnny. Ironic, isn't it?
Yeah. All trussed up and waiting for us by his own doing. It was late in the afternoon by the time we reached the watering trough in the old feed shack and the body of Jerry McCoy, already half buried by the sandstone. And I wondered what sort of punishment could possibly be enough for the man who'd done this to him. Yeah, I wondered until we found Rafe Chisholm tied to that post.
Wait a minute. Johnny. We're too late.
I know.
Rawhide. Green steer hide. As it dried out, it shrank. Tighter and tighter around his body, around his neck, until he's... until...
Yeah. I don't know. And who's to question the ways of justice? Expense account total, including a couple of drinks for Buster and myself on the trip back to Hartford... $3.45.40. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
And now, here's our star to tell you about next week's program.
Next week, Long Beach, California, looking for the tidy sum of $75,000. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Well, that was an abrupt ending. Very abrupt. Yep. But that was it for the Sidewinder Matter.
It was.
From Johnny Adela.
Yep. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay. I never know.
I know. We always have Blog Talk we can blame, whether they're at fault or not. They usually are.
So we do have something we can learn from this.
Amen to that, brother. Erie House Radio proudly presents a much more prepared, garrulous moral of the story.
Yeah, apology cigar. This story proves once and for all that greed will get you in the end, or wherever else it gets you. I'm telling you.
Wilhelm liked it. He liked it so much, he said.
Okay, well, we have time for our last set of Storm Facts, Dave Facts. What do you like? Yes, you like. All right. Storm fact. Lightning kills an average of 26 people a year in the U.S. and injures hundreds more. Dave fact. That's why I always jump into a shark tank every time I see lightning coming, as there are only 16 shark attacks a year with one fatality every 2 years. Storm fact. People have been shocked or even killed while bathing, doing dishes, or even doing laundry. Dave fact. That's why I outsource all my cleaning. Much cheaper insurance. Storm fact. Some frogs get louder just before it rains. Dave fact. So does my mother-in-law, but she also gets louder when someone turns on Fox News. Sometimes I can't tell if it's going to rain or if Sean Hannity just went off the air. And storm fact. If you're ever outside during a thunderstorm with no place to take shelter, keep your feet together. That minimizes your chance that the current will travel through your body, damaging your internal organs. Dave fact.
That was a preemptive there. Tarzan. I'm sorry. There's one more.
Dave fact. And if you keep your knees together, you'll be able to walk like Jerry Lewis and become a French hero, and it'll keep you from getting pregnant. That's it.
Lady! There we go.
Okay, there we go.
I jumped the gun.
That's okay. I always feel sorry for Tarzan. A guy goes around stubbing his toe all the time. You can hear him screaming in pain.
I went off too early. I felt like a boy on his first date. But you know...
Oh, and CW's not here to bring in Sister Knucklebuster.
That's why they say, Dave, timing is everything. You know I'm going to hear about this later.
She'll get us tomorrow. She'll get
I'm
us gonna tomorrow.
I'm going to get the wooden spoon, whack us on the knuckles, et cetera, et cetera. And... etc. So yeah, thunderstorms. What storms stand out in your mind that you've personally experienced?
Trying to think. I've usually been indoors. Actually, I think I once experienced it was really loud, and of course it wasn't labeled a tornado, but I think I had a microburst right outside my house when I lived over on Norton Street here in Akron, because all these bushes that were been there a long time and were like, they were like, what, about 7 feet tall, all were smushed down to the ground. That was after a big sound of something, and I found out the next day. So, wow. So although it was not a tornado, I think it was a microburst. That's as close as I've come to something like that.
Ah, wow. I think the most dramatic storm in my life was not a thunderstorm so much as the snowstorms of 77, 78?
Yeah, yeah.
That was like incredible amounts of snow. For those of you that are old enough to remember, and we were young drivers in that stuff.
Yeah.
Just learning how to drive and control a skid.
I was driving through downtown Akron, and I was going around a snow pile, wow, right into a big the driver got out and helped push me out. I said, what were you doing? I says, I don't know. I haven't driven in too many snowstorms. So.
Yeah. And then when you got home, you had to learn how to lift snow over your head because that's how high it was stacked up on your driveway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I still always remember the slide of my dad digging out in Buffalo, digging out his car, and the snow pile was over his. He was almost 6 foot tall, and he was digging out, and it was over his head where he was digging out the snow. And that was not unusual for Buffalo.
No, you guys got it. I think Buffalo is one of those lake towns over here that gets it a little bit worse than Cleveland. Sometimes a lot worse.
Yeah.
Depending on which way the winds is blowing. I think the thunderstorm when I picked up my Husky many, 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 many years ago, like 30, that was a memorable thunderstorm just because of what came out of it, a beautiful dog. a good dog.
Yeah.
Completely different personality than the guy I got now, but.
You know, we had a, for a short term, we had a dog. It came from a storm, because when the storm stopped, the guy let his dog out in the backyard. Well, the dog just ran over his fence. Now, we didn't know this at the time. Ended up at our house, so of course, he let him in. He stayed there for a few weeks. I called him Jeeps, GPS, because he had no idea where he was going. And one day my son was out giving him a walk, and the guy said, "That's our dog. Thank you so much." I said, "You can't have no. We let him have our dog." But yeah.
Yep.
So we took good care of him until their owner actually saw my son Bobby taking him for a walk.
Hmm. Okay. I didn't know that we'd have time for this, but let's find some good intro for this.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Time for a Dale Kay's fairy tale story. One day, a dog and a cat died on the same evening. They get up to heaven, and God asks the dog, "Were you a good dog?" He said, "Well, I listened to all my commands, I never bit anybody, and I was very loyal." And the God says to the cat, "Were you good?" And the cat said, "You're sitting in my chair."
There you go.
This has been the Dale Kay's fairy tale. Oh, isn't that sweet? Is that true or what?
That's true. It is true. Yeah.
There you go.
Absolutely.
See, this is what happens to you when we have time to kill.
Yeah.
You get what you deserve, folks.
Only leads to trouble.
And since I'm the one who followed up, I feel I owe it to you not to punish you more, but rather to reward you with a Wheel O Radio.
Yeah.
Around and around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we present our play, The Adventures of Robinson Crusoe, starring the Abbott and Costello Seafood Cocktail Players. That little shrimp Costello plays Robinson Crusoe. That old crab Charles Lawton plays his man Friday. And Bud Abbott is just along for the halibut.
For the halibut.
Oh, come on, Niles. Huh? Announce the player, I'll belt you with a smelt.
As the scene opens, Robinson Costello and Bud Abbott are aboard ship in the midst of a terrific storm. And the ship is sinking.
Come on, Costello. We have to dive overboard. The ship is about to capsize.
Cap what?
Capsize. Capsize. Don't you know what capsize is?
Yes, sir. Mine's 6 or 7 8.
Ow! Quiet. Come on. We'll have to swim for that island. Come on. Jump in the water.
Ooh, ooh. Abbott! The water's cold.
Oh, all right.
Look at me. I'm turning blue and red and pink and purple. I'm freezing in technicolor.
Stop worrying and start swimming. We've got to make the shore.
Hey, Abbott, I feel something. A shark is biting my toe.
That can't be a shark. Sharks travel in school.
Then this one is playing hooky.
Look, listen, Costello. We'll float into shore. Here comes a big wave.
I gotta wait for a little whack.
Here it comes, Costello. Come on, get ready.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Blow my clothes and dry them, kid.
Yep. Well, we made it all right. Now we've got to find out where we are. There's nothing on this island but dense tropical jungle.
Hey, Abbott, look up in that tree. It's a jet.
That's a monkey.
They sure fool you, don't they?
Hey, Costello, climb up that tree and see if there are any other signs of life around.
But the monkey might bite me.
Oh, just speak to him.
Okay. Hiya, little monkey.
Hiya, brother.
Oh, Niles, will you keep out of the plane? Now, stay out of here.
Hey, quiet. I hear someone coming. Yes, it's over there. It's a native man. Speak to him, Costello.
Okay. Hello, native. My name, Robertson Costello. We your friends. You welcome us to island?
Greetings, white man. My name, Friday. Welcome to this island. You all, yowza, cheerio, pip, pip. All that sort of thing, yak, yak.
Hey, Lawton, what kind of dialect is that?
Me native. Speak with a drool.
You mean drawl, drawl.
No, drool. Me read Esquire.
Enough of this
He's
talk.
He's got funnier lines than me.
Now, wait a minute. Just a minute. Let's get together here. None of this kind of talk, Friday. We both need food and drink. What can you give us?
Me give you rubber. All my life, me eat the rubber and drink the sap from the rubber tree.
I'll bet you were a bouncing baby. I'll bet you were a bouncing baby.
You said that once.
Nobody hears me.
Just a moment, Friday. Do you really enjoy this diet of rubber?
Oh, yes, stranger. The rubber has a wonderful tang.
But how do you feel after you eat this rubber?
Oh, it makes me feel like a king. And you want to sing in the spring.
I hear Lawton over acting. You know, silence, you all.
I advise you to leave us out at once.
Shall I?
It is growing dark. Night is falling.
Night falling, yes, sir. You see, Abbott, you asked me to give Buster a chance, didn't you? Now put him back in a cage. No more sound effects. If I hear one more peep out of you, Buster, I'll give you the bird.
Bird, yes, sir. Meadowlark. Nightingale. Robin.
Will you please get out of here?
Costello, let's get back to the play. Remember, the play is the thing.
Who called this thing a play?
Now, look, Friday. You started to warn us about this island.
Don't pay any attention to this guy, Abbott. I know every island around here like a book. I've even been to the BVD Island.
The BVD Island?
Yes, the West Undies.
Undies.
That's when I was working in short.
Costello.
Yes, sir.
Will you keep out of this and let me talk? Now, tell me, Friday. Do you think we're really in danger?
There's no escape for us. Listen. Why, even now you can hear the drums of doom.
Doom, doom, doom. Doom, doom, doom. Yak, chili, bum, bum. Doom, doom.
Listen to those jive drums, Abbott. What does it mean?
It means that the voodoo queen is about to make a human sacrifice. The sacrificial fires are already burning.
Oh, help! 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 Oh, it's terrible!
What's the matter?
Oh, it's awful. First they put me in a big pot, and then they take me out of the pot. Then they put me back in the pot, and then they take me out of the pot.
Wait a minute. Who are you?
Oh, just a little poker chip.
Come on, Miles. Stop making an ace of yourself.
Never mind him, Costello. Come quickly. We must run for our lives.
Yes. Before the audience comes up the stage and gets us. I am moving while reading script.
No!
Someone is going to get a pot shot at me.
Do not move or you will die. Look, the voodoo queen approaches with her three sacred guards. I will speak to the guards. Greetings.
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 Sounds like my draft board.
Silence, white man. The queen is about to speak.
Greetings, Friday.
Greetings, Saturday.
Saturday?
Yes, I'm Friday and she's Saturday.
Who are these three guys? Sunday, Monday, and all world.
Costello, all be careful what you say, Costello.
Yes, and do not allow your eyes to stray from the queen's face.
That is right. You must face me or face death.
I'd rather face death.
Oh, you fool. Do you not realize that beauty is only skin deep?
Well, go skin yourself and come back.
Oh, I've heard enough. These men must die.
But, Your Majesty, Costello did not mean it.
No?
Costello just said it for a lark.
Lark? Yes, sir, lark. Sparrow. Nightingale. Oh, come on, Ollie. Come on, will you get out of here? Will you, Boxman?
Come, guards. Throw these men into the sacrificial fire.
Quick, we've only one chance. Down on your knees. We must plead for our lives. Ask her for mercy.
Come on, Costello. We must ask for mercy.
Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy
Charles Laughton. I loved him in Old Dark House. I liked him in the remake of The Hunchback of Notre Dame. But he's known for a lot more than that. Those are just my favorites.
Treasure Island comes to mind,
Oh, yeah, God. How could I forget?
I did get paid this week. I do have a wooden nickel. I can throw into the jukebox if you would like.
Sure. Can't wait to see what's going to happen.
Okay, let's reach over here and slide it right into the coin slot.
That'll be good. Gee, I thought you had something in mind.
No, I didn't.
Okay, here we go. Dream when you're feeling blue. Dream, that's the thing to do.
I feel dreamy.
You find your share.
Sure,
well, Peggy, honey, I'm one of your biggest fans. I really am. And I heard your recording of Golden Earrings, and I can understand why it tops in the country today. So if you'll sing it real pretty as only you can, you'll give us all a treat, please.
That's the spell tonight.
American heroes.
Real American heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pickled Pig's Feet Eater.
Mr. Pickled Pig's Feet Eater.
Ignoring all you know about pigs and where they live and what they step in, you look at their pickled paws and say, yummy.
Look and taste.
Craving only the most daring meal, you pass up the cow tongue, skate by the head cheese, dismiss the Rocky Mountain oysters. But a pig's foot soaked in pickle juice, now that's good eating. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Pickled Pig's Feet Eater, because it takes guts to eat those feet.
Thank you, Mr.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Tomorrow night, we make it up to you with two shows. We're going to have the Whistler that you were expecting tonight. That will be a tale called Death Demands a Payment. And then we got a whole CBS Radio Mystery Theater for you. Fred Gwynne returns in The Storm Breeder.
Herman Munster's back. Herman Munster's back.
Yes, he is. Or, you know, I just saw him. He was very good in My Cousin Vinny. I just watched it the other day. In fact, it was this morning because I got up at 1 o'clock and there was nothing else to do, and I didn't want to wake up the dog. So it's time for My Cousin
Vinny. There's a very little-known movie with Ed O'Neill and also has Fred Gwynne in it called Law and Disorder. Very, very funny movie. I must have hit the theaters, but didn't hit it very long. And I've never seen it on any streaming service, but funny, funny movie. I have it on DVD. The wife has watched it like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Very funny movie.
I never understood his role in Stephen King's Pet Sematary, because it was like, it's a dangerous place. You don't want to bury your dead there. Let me show you where it is. What? Wait.
Don't do that, but if you do, let me help you, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Precisely where it is to bury your dead kid so he comes back. We'll be back tomorrow at 6:30 Eastern for a very special 2-hour show. See you then. Goodbye.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Good night, CW. Good night, Gar. Good night, Fog.
And you dig it.
Good
night, Bob.
Good night, Bob.
Good night, John Boy.
Good night, Grandpa.
Ow. That door hurt me.
That last part, though, reminded me of, I have a sign that Mike Mace got me, staring me right here at my desk. It says, that's a horrible idea. What time?
It's a horrible idea. What time? Count me in.
That's a horrible idea. What time?
And you're in my chair. I can imagine a cat saying that. I just can't.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
They say it to everybody else.
That's right. Pepperoni, our latest tabby type cat, has a chair in my room, and sometimes when Laura's in here to do something on the computer, she sits in that chair and the cat just stares at her. Get out of my chair. Out of my chair.
I know, they pick their furniture, right? The collie has taken over the couch. And it's a constant war with my wife. He does not want pillows, particularly on one side of the couch. He puts his long nose and flips him in the air, flips him off the couch. It's hilarious. And then when he lays down, he makes this disgusted noise, like, I have to do this again. Yeah. They just don't get it.
Yeah.
But shortly after he gets up, she's dutifully putting pillows back where they ought to go, and it's inevitable. Collies do steal couches. They are couch stealers.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they are.
But they don't eat pickled pig's feet.
No, I wasn't expecting that particular thing from the Bud Light people. Those are so funny.
Those were such a great run of commercials. I had no idea until I stumbled on a batch of them how many there were, because every time I heard them on the radio, I would just roll laughing.
Yeah.
Especially the background singers are sometimes the funniest part.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
My comments that he sings, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Some good radio. That Evan Costello was a lot of fun. I do like Charles Lofton, but I read some things about him that I don't think I'd like him as a person. Don't think I'd like to hang around if any of those things are true.
But I guess even just if he's there for your home for a dinner, yeah, I forget who I was reading who was talking about that, but they said he would come in and he would just give us an amazing rendition of something he was reading, and everything stopped while he was doing that rendition.
Yeah, he was very talented.
So talented.
Yeah, that he was.
And spoofed in several Warner Brothers cartoons as well, yeah.
Now, was he married to Elsa Lancaster, or were they just good friends?
I don't know.
I thought they hung... I associate them, too. I don't know why. I did not realize Elsa played the mother in Lassie Come Home, with the one with Roddy McDowall, the 1942 movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The dog was only 2 years old at the time.
Wow.
And lived all the way until 1958. Pal, the original Lassie. He only played in a couple of the TV ones. His son played a lot of them. And I can't remember which dog it was during the Timmy years. Timmy. The Timmy years are the best. I'm starting to appreciate that there's a Lassie channel. I'm starting to appreciate the Tommy Rettig when it was called Jeff's Collie. Those aren't too bad.
Yeah.
Those aren't too bad. But the really, I think the best written ones, most of the best written ones are with Timmy. But sometimes they got ridiculous. When June Lockhart goes, get the C-clamp.
There's
Denise and I laugh. Yeah.
I guess there was one Lost in Space episode that Billy Mooney was playing his guitar, and like the only song he knew all the way through was Green Sleeves. And he couldn't understand why June Lockhart kept looking at him so weirdly while he was playing that.
Yeah.
That was Lassie's theme.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. It was in, I want to say the early, mid-60s. It went over to Greensleeves. Because they had a whistle one with the Timmy years. But towards the end of the Timmy years,
Charles,
they started doing the Greensleeves.
And Charles Lawton was indeed married to Elsa Lancaster. They met in 1929, and despite his other issue... They stayed married until his death in 1962.
Yep. Wow. That is something. Yeah, because I thought there, I wondered, no, that would be, I was thinking about, what was that director's name? James Whale. They did story of him. I think Ian McKellen played him.
Okay.
And there was a pretty good scene in there. The movie was called Of Gods and Monsters was the title of it, which was a quote from Bride of Frankenstein, which he directed. He also directed the first Frankenstein. And he had an alternate lifestyle, I guess you could say. He was gay. Fairly openly back then, which was pretty amazing for that day.
You get your blacklisted in Hollywood.
But there was a good scene in there where he attended, because he spiraled downward towards the end of his life. as far as success, health, and other things. But towards the end, he went to I guess it was a Universal party or something like that. Karloff was there. They had somebody play Karloff. Elsa Lancaster was there. I think Charles Laughton was there. Maybe not, because it might have been mid-50s. She was older, the person who played her. And they got a pretty decent person to play Karloff. Didn't completely not resemble him. He resembled him lightly, you know. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, Laughton was good. I liked the kind of a sad character he played in Old Dark House.
Yeah.
Sad but jovial. And a Scottish
guy.
If
there's anybody who could get away with, after Lon Chaney Sr. with the Hunchback, it was Charles Laughton.
Yeah. He had, and I like some of the radio stuff. We've had a couple radio programs with him.
He, amazing diction and variation on his timing and things like that. Just, you know, he like here, he was in battling with Abbott Costello and fitting right in. And, you know, and yet, you know, although you think of him, you think of the heavy dramas, which he also could do with ease.
Yeah, something very serious, very dramatic, and that's what I think the very best can do comedy well.
And the best comedians is all about timing, and so the best comedians should be able to do some amazing drama.
And some do. Some make the bridge pretty well. Belushi was trying that towards the end of his career.
Yeah,
the end of his life.
Yeah, the Continental Divide, which was a romantic comedy. He did very well in that. And to be honest,
Robin Williams was very good at that. He played drama very well.
I like a lot of Robin Williams stuff, his serious stuff, better than I like some of his comedy stuff.
Yeah.
Movies.
I saw him play a chilling villain. Oh, gosh. I think it was a Robert De Niro movie or something. He was like a stalker guy or something like that, killer guy. Mm. He was very good in that. He was like a photographer, and he would, like, obsess on someone and eventually take him out. And then he was a very chilling villain.
Wow. So, yeah, I think that because the comedian, if they're a great comedian, they've got the timing.
Yeah.
I think of Jonathan Winters in his Game of Pool with the Jack Klugman in a Twilight Zone. That's an amazing.
Oh, I know. You keep waiting for him to do something crazy. And filming it must have been a hoot because of the way Jonathan Winters is.
Well,
but he played that so straight. It was great.
It was interesting because I read some notes on that particular episode, and basically what would happen, again, that was one of his first dramatic roles, and he if he would mess up a line, he'd go into a 5-minute improv stick, you know, and killed everybody. It took twice as long to film that than probably almost any other half hour Twilight Zone, and everybody loved every second of it. It's just And he could not do what was at the end he missed, and Jack Klugman won. He was supposed to lose, but he kept having trouble missing. So Rod came down and they rewrote the closing where he would make. He was supposed to make it and couldn't make it at that point. He was supposed to make it. The original script had him making that shot, and Jack Klugman would just be another guy trying to be a great one. And he couldn't do that, so Rod rewrote it that he would miss the shot, and he could go off and relax, and Jack Klugman had to be the guy that he had to play everybody who called his name. So it was, both endings were great. Both endings were amazing. The guy that wrote the original story wasn't real happy that the end got flipped around, but it was an amazing, I thought it was a great ending the way it was.
I do too. I like the way it was filmed, but yet at the same time, it would be fascinating if any film was saved of the other, if any versions were saved of the other ending. It would be awesome to have both. You know?
I don't think so, because in the Jack Klugman one, a passage for trumpet, that was the opening of season 3, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
They were filming that, and the director called up Rod, said, "Rod, call CBS. You gotta have an hour for this show. It's the season opener. You gotta have an hour for it." And Rod tried, but CBS wouldn't buy for it. There was so much stuff that Jack Klugman did that was so good that we will never ever see, because it just got on the cutting room floor and they never saved it.
Yeah, and you would think it would have turned up by now with the amazing following that the original Twilight Zone still has.
Yeah.
I mean, Facebook alone, look at how many pages are dedicated. Look at how many people we've met that are extremely interested. And you know, some of our guests I'm thinking of Mr. Dwidziak in particular.
Mr. Dwidziak, yeah.
Mark, in his incredible knowledge that he shared with us here, with that kind of a following, I would think that would show up by now.
Yeah, it would be there if it was available somehow. If somebody had taken it and taken all the four-room footage that got thrown down there and put it in an envelope or an empty can or anything, it would be out by now. Absolutely.
You would think, but then one never knows. Freaks was thought lost for a long time, and then it reemerged in 65, I think.
Can you imagine what kind of a Comic-Con or whatever that would be able to premiere something like that?
Comic-Con? Yeah, some found footage of early Twilight Zone stuff, or you know, I would love to see that Chaney film that's been missing forever.
Yeah,
since 27. But you never know. Someday, somewhere, there could be a film canister, some radio tapes, Dave, television footage somewhere, and maybe a grip somewhere got a hold of, or something was in the garbage out back. Yeah, I'm going to save this for old time's sake. And has it squirreled away somewhere? Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
We can only hope. We can only hope.
We can hope. We can hope. Absolutely.
Hope and imagine. Makes life fun. And we hope that you enjoy what we do here at Eerie House. We sure do.
Yep, and enjoy these little chats that we have after the show's over, because sometimes we get into things, and again, this isn't really the subject of tonight's show, but it's still, I think, a little interesting discussion we had going on here. So,
yeah, we like sharing little facts and factoids of the genre of horror, sci-fi, and fantasy, and just overall good stuff. And with that, we should probably call it a night.
Yeah, we should call it a night, or at least a good evening anyway. And time to turn off the house lights, turn on the three spotlights, so into the middle spotlight can come the one, the only, Jimmy DeRidge.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Sorry, I said.
Safe, but good night. We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Hurry, go up, we the same, and ink a tink and do.
Just ink a do.
Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash.
Good night, Dave. Good night, CW. Good night, Gar. Good night, everyone.
Good night, John Boy.
Now that wasn't so bad, was it?
It was disgusting.
Do you mind turning off the radio?